Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Samach Aleph, the last daf in Maseches Bechoros. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin from the bottom of Daf Samach Amud Beis, 2 lines from the bottom. Before we begin the shiur, let us glance at the outside margin of our Gemara. You will notice a Nosei Mivneh heading. This is one of the features of the Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of Gemara markings, the Shas that you see on your screen. We offer title headings and structural notes from time to time when needed. In this case, our structural note is combined with the topic heading. You'll notice we've featured a double underline, which appears in the Gemara a few times. The point of this Gemara is to liyashev gimel brisos hasoisrois, to resolve what appear to be 3 Tanaic sources, b'mikre shel shnayim shiyotsu basiri, where 2 animals emerged in the 10th position. In other words, after the animal counting to achieve Meiser Behema, after the 9th animal was counted, 2 emerged in the 10th position, V'koron Asiri, and he labeled both of them as 10. As we will turn to the Gemara, we will notice 3 Tanaic sources. Each one is 1 word long, hence we won't be using our standard frame marking. We simply underline the introductory expression Toni Chada, and you will see 3 different approaches to this particular case. And our job will be to explain how they are not contradictory and how rather they are to be understood. We will be doing that with a double underline that appears at each explanation point. So we turn to the Gemara. Rashi comments that this opening piece of Gemara is really a quote from what Rava had said earlier. Rava appeared on the upper part of this Amid, of Samach Amud Beis, introducing cases where we had marked them earlier with a crown shape. At that point, Rava spoke about 2 animals emerging at either the 9th position or the 10th position, as you can see above. So at this point, we're quoting from that. Yotsu Shnayim Vasiri, Vikoron Asiri. 2 animals emerged at the number 10th position, and he called them both Asiri, 10th. Tonachada, 1 source says, Yiru, that they are to graze. That's graze until they develop a blemish, and the owner will then be allowed to eat them, to slaughter and eat them. Vitonachada, Yikrivu. Another source says they are to be offered as sacrifices. The Tanya Idoch Yomusu. A third source says they are set aside to die. Well, the same case is represented by 3 different approaches. The Gemara says Lo Kashya. There is no contradiction. Ha Ditana Yiru. The source that says that both of them shall graze till they develop a mum, till they develop a blemish. And at that point, the owner will be able to slaughter them and eat them as outside the Beis HaMikdash, of course. Rabbonon hi de Amri. This is in accordance with the opinion of the Rabbonon that say, Ein mevien kochim lebeis hapsul. This concept will be explained by Rashi at the top of Daf Samach Aleph Omed Aleph. We don't want a situation where if you were to prepare them, slaughter them as sacrifices, you will be minimizing the amount of time or amount of people that will be able to eat the korban. when you reduce the amount of time or the number of people that can eat a korban, you're endangering it to the point of becoming nosar, of being left over beyond the accepted time or allowed time for eating. And if it becomes nosar, obviously, it becomes unfit and has to be rid of. So in order to prevent a nosar situation from arising, we simply say, don't even bring them as sacrifices in the first place. Rather, set them out to graze till they develop a blemish. Now, I'm sure you're all asking, how is this an example of bringing kachim lebeis hapsul? So we will now turn to the Rashi at the top of Samach Aleph Omed Aleph, where Rashi says, Ein mevi'in kachim lebeis hapsul. She'ilu hayu kravim, if we were to offer these two animals, Tzorach le'ochlan k'chomer shebohem, we would have to treat each one with their respective restrictions. We are talking about two animals that emerged in the number 10 position. So in effect, you have a number 10 and number 11 animals. And the rule is that the 10th is treated as Meiser Behema, and the 11th animal will be treated as a Korban Shlomim. The rules that apply to each one are slightly different. Now, what are the stringencies? So the Rashi continues, Ditzorech lahorim mehem chazev eshok. You'll have to separate from each one, because each one might be a korban shlomim, and a korban shlomim has separated from it these two limbs, the chazeh and the shok, and the litein lekohanim, and they are presented to the kohen. Only a kohen eats chazeh v'shok. Umitov sha'kohanim u'otim hein, since the kohanim, in contrast with the general population, are few in number, ein nechal elo lekohanim, and this will be eaten only by kohanim, the chazeh v'shok, shemelo yumetsuyim, since you have this limited population, you might not find people available to consume the chazeh v'shok, the yifsilu belino lachar shnei yomim v'laylo echad. And if they are left beyond the allotted time of 2 days and intervening night, it will become posel. Posel through lino. Lino means being left beyond its accepted time. V'hashto mevi echad mehem shu meiser lebeis hapsul. And now, one of those two animals was a meiser animal, meiser behema. It was never supposed to be treated as a shlomim, but we just don't know which one is which. So we, out of caution, we would separate the chazeh v'shok. But you are now reducing the people who are available to eat the chazeh v'shok of the meiser. The ha meiser vaday eino tzorach haromas chazeh v'shok lekohanim. A regular, known meiser behema does not have the chazeh v'shok limbs given to kohanim. Elah kol ne'echal l'chol adam. The entire meiser behema can be eaten by anybody. U'mitzuyin lo'ochlan harbe. And a lot of people are available to eat from the meiser behema meat. V'lo le'si la'olam lidei psul lina. It won't come to this psul that we referred to before of being left beyond its time, and being left over because of a limited population of consumers. In the case of Meiser Behema, as we said, anyone can eat that. So if we were to bring these two animals as korbanos, then we would have to separate the chazeh v'shok from each one on the grounds that it might be a korban shlomim. But that would be bringing the Meiser Behema amongst them to Beis Hapsul, as we explained, because you're limiting the population. So in order not to come to a situation where a korban, where a sacrifice is going to be rendered unfit or left over, we simply say, don't offer them in the first place, set them out to graze till they develop a blemish, and thereby we preempt this problem. So that is an explanation of the source that said Yiru. Continuing, the top of Samach Aleph, you see the double underline is to explain now the next source, the Ha de Tani Yikrivu, the source that says they shall be offered. Reb Shimon he. This is in accordance with Reb Shimon. D'omar mavi and kochel lebeis hapsul. Reb Shimon has an opinion that he is not worried about this possibility of the korban becoming rendered unfit, or the meat becoming pusel. The ha de toni yomusu. The source that says the two animals shall die. Reb Yehuda he. This is in conformity with to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Diomar Tols Meiser Tmura Havya. Tols Meiser is a reference to calling either the ninth or the 11th animal by the term 10. And we've seen extensive examples of Tols Meiser. It's the mislabeling of the animals, specifically the 9th, 10th, and 11th animals. So the mislabeled animal is and which gets sanctity has a tmura status. Tmura is a term that in general refers to the replication of sanctity from a standard sacrifice onto an animal that is currently chulin, that is a mundane or common animal. In this case, when we talk about the 9th and 11th animals, they are also basically chulin animals. They're just on either side of the 10th. So a mistake regarding those animals is called, according to this approach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is referred to as a tmura. It's the Tols Meiser, once again, this mistaken identity concerning these animals, the 9th, 10th, 11th animals that we've referred to, is in the realm of tmura. Vikosav Rabbi Yehuda, tmuras Meiser Mesa. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the tmura of a Meiser behema, as opposed to the tmura of other standard sacrifices, the tmura of a Meiser, its destiny is death. It's not offered as a sacrifice. In contrast to other cases of tmura which are offered as sacrifices. So when we see the source that says that the two animals that came out in the number 10 position, one of them is we don't know which one, and that's our problem. One of them is in effect a tmuras meiser. And as a result of that, neither animal, because we are in doubt, neither animal can be offered, and rather it's set aside to die. The Gemara now has a long question. You can see the kufitz encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dashed line. Before we go further in the Gemara, we just want to draw your attention to the nosei, the topic heading, that appears to the in the outside margin where we've written Shitas Rabbi Yehuda b'Tmuras Meiser. The Gemara here will be focusing on Rabbi Yehuda's opinion regarding Tmuras Meiser. So now the Gemara asks, is it really so? Because of Rabbi Yehuda Tmuras Meiser Mesa. Is it really so that that's his approach to the Tmura of Meiser Behema, that it is destined to die as opposed to being offered as a sacrifice? V'atnan, we have a quote now from our Mishnah on Daf Samach Omer Aleph. This section is a response to Rabbi Yehuda. Omru Mishum Rabbi Meir. It was said in the name of Rabbi Meir as a response to Rabbi Yehuda. Ilu hoya tmura. Lo hoya karev. If the mislabeled animal was in fact a tmura, it would not be offered. And we know that an 11th animal to emerge that's labeled 10 is offered. So what's being said here is that if it had been a tmura, it would not have been offered. So that's the response Meir makes to Rabbi Yehuda. We infer from this, Michlal Rabbi Yehuda Savar Korev. It must be that Rabbi Yehuda held that it is Korev, that it's not Mesa. So how can you say that the unnamed source that says Mesa is Rabbi Yehuda when you see from the response Rabbi Meir makes to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir says, had it been a Tmura, it wouldn't have been offered. It must be that Rabbi Yehuda had said that it is offered. V'chi teima Rabbi Meir l'may desviro le'komar. You might want to try to say that this comment that's made in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, of Rabbi Meir, is really Rabbi Meir's own position, namely that only according to Rabbi Meir, it's not a Tmura, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is a tmura, and as such, it is to die. V'hotanya, that too you cannot say. We have the following source. Ein bein, achadosor l'shlamim, there is no difference between the 11 animal that's labeled meiser, which we know converts into a real shlamim, and l'shlamim means and a standard shlamim, elo shezeh oise kedusha likrav, v'zeh ein oise kedusha likrav, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, and the emphasis is on Rabbi Yehuda. Kadosh likrav hu delo avid, the number 11 animal that's labeled 10, what it doesn't have, what it lacks relative to a standard korban shlamim, is that it cannot make another animal worthy of being sacrificed. In other words, if you try to replicate the kedusha of a number 11 that is called a shlamim onto something else, so it won't be able to be replicated. However, replication it cannot do. Ha ihu gufei korif. But the number 11 animal itself that was labeled 10 is offered. Okay, the inference again from this source was that the only difference between a shlomim and a number 11 labeled as meiser is the ability to replicate, to be replicated. But as far as the way we treat the animal itself, both a shlomim and the number 11 labeled meiser are offered. And so you see that this tumuras meiser is not to die. The Ode Tanya. And furthermore, we have the following source, which is the Gemara will call this the Medrash on Sefer Vayikra, which is known as the Sifra. It says in this source, Im Min HaBokar. That's a quote from the Pasuk. L'ravois achadosor l'shlomim. From this we learn that the number 11 that's labeled Meiser is brought as a korban shlomim. Yochol shenimar be'afachi. Could it be that a number 9 in the counting that's labeled 10, mistakenly, is also brought as a shlomim? Amris. So to this we answer that no. V'chi hegdish l'fonav mekadesh o l'achrov mekadesh. When we speak about something gaining sanctity, does it sanctify, does the number 10 animal, so to speak, sanctify something before it itself gains sanctity or after it itself gains sanctity? Heve omer l'achrov mekadesh. The number 10's power of instilling sanctity onto another animal is after itself, after it got gained its own sanctity. Hence, the 11th is referred to and not the 9th. Stam Sifra, the Gemara points out, an unnamed drosha on a sefer in Vayikra, as we just darshaned a posuk in Vayikra Perigimel. The Stam Sifra, the unnamed drushes on Sefer Vayikra, Moni, who is the author of those? Rabbi Yehuda. It happens to be Rabbi Yehuda. So the source we just read, in which we dashed underlined the expression Achador Sor Lishlamim, is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Vikotani, and it says in this source, this is now just a quote from the source, Im Min HaBokar L'Rabos Achador Sor Lishlamim. From this we learn that the number 11 is offered as a Korban Shlamim, according to, of course, Rabbi Yehuda. So the above, when we were dealing with the three contradictory sources at the bottom of Samach Amud Beis, and we attempted to resolve the source that said Yomusu and say that that's according to Rabbi Yehuda, nothing doing. The two animals that emerge in the number 10 position are the 10th and the 11th. We see from all of these sources Rabbi Yehuda's approach to the number 11 animal. It is to be offered. So what are we to do with the source that said Yomusu? Elo Tirgimo Reb Shimon Rebbe Abo Kameid Reb Yochanan. So Reb Shimon explains the source is Bemeiser Bizman Hazeh Askinon. We're talking about one who tithed his animals and achieved a Meiser Behema nowadays, where there's no Beis HaMikdash, and because Umishum Takola, and because of the fear of misuse, we don't say set it out to graze until it gets a mum, because until that happens, until it develops the mum, a takola could arise. It could be used for shearing or for work, or it might even be slaughtered before it gets a mum, before it gets the blemish. All of that would be improper if you're dealing with a meiser behema. So since we have on our hands two animals that are meiser behem, were labeled as meiser, and we're talking about nowadays, and we are worried if we were to set them out to graze about a takola, so what do? We put them in a little room, which is known as a kippah, and they are left to starve to death. If we're talking about meiser bizman hazeh, and we cited a source that deals with two that emerge in the number 10 position, my iriotre. Why do we have to speak about two emerging in the number 10 position, afilu chadami, even if one were to emerge in the number 10 position and be labeled meiser behemah, and we're talking bezman hazeh, what are you going to do with it? Of course you're going to set aside for it to die. You put it into the keep until it dies because we're worried about takola. What was the significance of the source addressing an issue of two emerging in the number 10 position? The Gemara answers, lo mibaya ko'omar. This is a structure that will be self-explanatory, and we also have labeled this with a long answer marking. The little tuff you see that's encircled the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the descending vertical dashed line, indicates the number of lines of Gemara that constitute the answer. So the Gemara says, as far as your question is, why do you feature two? You could have featured even one, that it should be set aside to die. So the Gemara says that didn't need to be told. Lo mibayo chad. I don't have to tell you about one. Deloy nofish pseida, where the owner isn't suffering a great loss. Aval trei, but two animals. Keva de nefishi pseida. Since if we say set them aside into the keep onto the small room until they die, there's a big loss for the man. It's two animals he's going to be losing. Maybe lishinu adinibulbu mumo delichlinu. Maybe in such a case, since you're dealing with meiser behemah bezman hazeh, and I can't bring it as a sacrifice, so instead of putting two animals to set aside, setting them aside to die, let me set them out to graze until they get a mum. Komash malon. So the source tells us, no, they are to put, both of them are to be put in the kibah. We don't leave them around. As we said, because of a chashash takola. As you can see, we have a slash mark in our Gemara. This indicates that which follows is a new idea. Before getting into the Gemara itself, we glance at the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading, where you see a triangle featured. The triangle represents Shnei Deos Barava, two opinions within Rava. We'll see Rav Papi and Rav Papa, quote, both of them quoting Rava, B'shaliach Shita'a B'hafroshas Meiser Behema, where a messenger is sent on behalf of the owner to do the tithing of Meiser Behema. Another point that will come up in this Gemara is V'haevdeil Bein Shliach Shita'a B'hafroshas Meiser Behema. The difference between a messenger that does the Meiser Behemah tithing in a mistaken way, in other words, a mistake comes forth from the Shaliach, as opposed to a case of someone sent to do a grain tithing called Truma, or he separates Truma, and the Shaliach sets it aside, Ba'ayin Yofeh. Ba'ayin Yofeh means 1/40th of the harvest is set aside as truma. Bisman shebalabayis hoya yocholotze sidecho vaso bepochos, where the owner himself could have fulfilled his obligation with 1/50th. In the case of meiser behema, we're going to see that a shliach who messes up, his actions are considered void. In the case of Truma that we just cited, where the Shliach deviates from what the Baal HaBayis might have done, nevertheless his tithing is binding. So we'll see these points discussed in our Sugya. Looking now to the Gemara, Itmar Ha'omer L'Shlucho Tzei V'Asei Olai V'Aser Olai. A person instructs his messenger, go and tithe for me my Meiser Behemus. Rabbi Rav Papi Mishmei D'Rova Omar. So Rav Papi says, in the name of Rava, Kora means the Shaliach called Lachii Asiri. He referred to the ninth animal to emerge as a Meiser Behema. Kodosh means it takes hold. Rashi explains that at the end of the day, what is the law with regard to a ninth that's called Meiser? The rule is it's set aside to graze until it develops a blemish and the owner can benefit from it. So there's no real loss on the part of the owner because of the mistake made by the Shaliach. A second case, Ula Achadosor Asiri, where the Shaliach called the 11th animal number, he called it 10, he called it Asiri. That would make it into a shlumim. Well, if a messenger did that, Eino Kadosh, it doesn't take hold. Because there, he is mafsid, the owner, as a result of the 11th animal being treated as a shlomim, he slaughters it and has to give away, it's slaughtered as a sacrifice, and he has to give away the chos of Ashok. Had he not called the 11th animal Asiri, it would have been Chulin, and the owner would have benefited totally from that animal. For Rav Papa Mishmei the Rava, this is Rav Papa, not to be confused with Rav Papi that we had before. Rav Papa quotes in the name of Rava saying, Afilu Koro Luchi Asiri Eino Kadosh. Notice we've used a dashed underline to highlight the point of difference between Rav Papi and Rav Papa. According to Rav Papa's version, even if he called the ninth Asiri, called it 10, it doesn't take hold. Eino Kadosh. It doesn't take hold. Where the first opinion said it takes hold, and then we would rule that the ninth animal has to be set aside to graze until it develops a blemish. Here, it doesn't take hold. The Amale, the owner, can say to the Shliach, L'skuni shadartich, I sent you, L'shadartich means I sent you, L'skuni, to make things good for me, V'lo le'avisi, and not to mess things up for me, not to cause me any loss. Now you see, the problem is, if he had called the ninth nine, so it would have been a regular, mundane, common chulin animal. But what did he do? He called number nine 10. It's true that when it gets a mum, the owner will be able to eat it and benefit from it. However, there is a loss according to this approach. And what's the loss? He can't use it immediately. He has to wait until the mum develops. And not only that, but it is now that it's the ninth was declared 10, he cannot shear it nor work with it. So there are other aspects of loss other than the meat consumption issue that are experienced. So according to Rav Papa, a shliach, when he's sent out to fulfill a mission, if he messes up, so his shlichus, his mandate for acting on behalf of the sender is voided. The Gemara asks, "Umay shno mehadisnan? What is different about the case of the shliach and meiser behema, where we said that if the shliach deviates or errs, his shlichus is botel, and yet in the following case, disnan, this source deals with the tithing of grains, haomer l'shlucho tse utrom, a person sends to his emissary, he says to him, go out and tithe my produce. And here we're focusing on truma. Toreim kedas shel bal habayis. The emissary should tithe the way the owner would have himself done the tithing. Some do it graciously, some do it miserly, some do it in the average. Whatever the owner would have done, the shliach is expected to do. Im eino yodea shtaitu shel bal habayis. If the shliach doesn't know what type of generosity level is the owner, the balabayas, toreim bebeinunis echod mechamishim. So we tell the shliach, do the average type, percentage or a fraction that truma constitutes, and that's 1/50th of the harvest. Piches asora oy hoisif asora. Piches literally means lowered, but here it really means increased. Lowered means instead of 50, you put the number 40, but it's 1/40. Piches asara means he tithed 1/40th of the grains instead of 1/50th, and we call this ayin yofe. Oy hoisif asara, or he took off less by this asara, meaning instead of 1/50th, 1/60th. And we say truma so truma. If you have a shliach that didn't know the mindset of his the balabayas, and he happened to take off even 1/40th, the source says truma so truma. So the question that one has to speak out over here, and this is what's bothering the Gemara, is that why when the shliach takes off 1/40th, do we say that it's binding? And why is it that the balabais does not challenge the shliach in this case and say, hey, you know, you could have taken off less. You could have taken off 1/50th. Look what you did. You took off 1/40th. The Gemara answers, Amri, Hosam, Kevon de Iko de Torah ba'ayin yofa v'iko de Torah ba'ayin ra. Since in the case of grain tithing, there are people that is standard fare take off graciously, and others take off miserly. Omar, therefore, the shaliach, Omar lay, the shaliach says to the sender, to the balabayas, to the owner, he says, lahochi amadetich, that which I took off, even if it happens to be 1/40th, he could say, he has a legitimate claim that I estimated that that was the way you were. I figured that's your heart, that's your generosity level, to give ba'ayin yofeh. And since there are people that do that as standard fare, fine, it's acceptable. It's not considered a mess up. Hacha, however, here in the case of Meiser Behema, Ta'usa he, two animals that emerged in the number 10 position, and you call them both Meiser, that's a mistake. Omar Le, the Balabayas can say, Lo Ibaya, Loch Lemiti, you shouldn't have messed up. And as a result of your having messed up, we should just be, for the sake of accuracy, we mentioned two, not really so, because we're going on the case of his calling the ninth animal 10, and Rav Papa said that if he does that, Eino Kadosh, and regarding that, there is a loss to the Balabayas, as we explained earlier, and hence the Balabayas can say that calling number 9, 10, that's not like the case of being Mafrish Truma 1/40th, which is Ba'ayin Yofeh, because that is a legitimate practice. Many people are Mafrish Ba'ayin Yofeh. However, calling number 9 by mistake 10, no one does that. That's an absolute mistake. That's not standard fare. And hence the Balabais can challenge the Shliach and say, you shouldn't have made a mistake. And therefore you didn't have a mandate to make a mistake. And therefore your Shlichus status never took hold for what you did by mistake. With that, we conclude our shiur for today, as well as all of Maseches Bechoros.